In election season, so-called issue ads have become a predictable feature of the media landscape. Issue ads often don't mention a candidate. Instead, they usually promote or attack an issue. Here's an example of a so-called dark money issue ad. This is from the last campaign season, just months ago. It's directed at Bridget Mary McCormick, who ran for and won a seat on the Michigan Supreme Court. At the end, a graphic comes up saying this is paid for by the Judicial Crisis Network.
June 16th, 2010, the day our life was shattered. My son Joe was taken from me, killed when his unit was attacked by terrorists in Afghanistan. My son selflessly gave his life for this country. So when I heard Bridget McCormick volunteered to represent and help free suspected terrorists, I couldn't believe it. My son's a hero and fought to protect us. Bridget McCormick volunteered to help free a terrorist. How could you?
The groups paying for issue ads aren't subject to the same disclosure requirements as candidate ads. Now, issue ads have flooded judicial elections with many millions of dollars from unidentifiable sources. Critics say it's impossible to know a judge is impartial in the courtroom if it's not clear who helped elect them. Our next guest is one of those critics. Bruce Cortade is president of the State Bar of Michigan. On Wednesday, the State Bar asked for clarification of the status of issue ads by the state's top elections official, Secretary of State Ruth Johnson, and we welcome Bruce Cortade to Current State.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in. Clarify for us here what we just heard. We did hear a particular candidate for the Michigan Supreme Court referred to in that ad, and we did hear that the ad was paid for by the Judicial Crisis Network. What about that presentation is your concern?
The concern is that nobody knows who that network is, so nobody knows who paid that money. So you have a judge there who, or in that case a candidate for judge, who's being criticized, and we don't know who it is. So you've got a situation there where the public has no way of knowing, is this her opponent? Is this, you know, who is this?
Well, it must be the Judicial Crisis Network, we can assume, supports somebody other than, philosophically, somebody in opposition to Bridget Mary McCormick.
Right.
We can assume that much, right?
We can assume that, but the real issue that we're facing with these ads is the reason that issue ads were deemed not to be expenditures that had to be reported was that they focused on policy issues. And because they were policy issues, they were protected by the First Amendment. So back in 2004, when Terry Lynn Land was the Secretary of State, she and her attorneys issued this letter that said, based on the law at that time, these were issue ads and you know, we're entitled to free speech. Since then, there have been three United States Supreme Court cases that have peeled that back and we believe basically undercut the underpinnings of that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're asking Secretary Johnson to revisit that.
I just want to make clear that these get called issue ads, but the names of candidates do get dropped in these things, too. Just because you hear a candidate's name doesn't mean that there isn't dark money or mystery money involved in this thing.
Correct. The quintessential issue ads are contact Congressman X about being fair to our children in education. It doesn't say vote for him, don't vote for him. It lays the issue out there.
Isn't it usually opposition to whatever that person has promoted in the past or where that person is coming from?
Correct.
Yeah.
And the difference in judicial campaigns is that when you think about it, the role of a judge under the Constitution, judges are not supposed to be lobbied on issues. The only lobbying that anybody should do for a judge is in a courtroom when, to the extent that you can argue that a lawyer is lobbying for a position in a particular case, that's done. Otherwise, the judge's role is to apply the law, so there's no policy lobbying required in a judicial election.
Is there another example, Bruce, of a judicial election in Michigan where this situation has played out, in your opinion?
It's played out in a couple of different ways. First of all, over the last 10 years, we watched dark money dramatically increase in judicial elections. to the point where in the last Supreme Court election, the one with Justice McCormick's ad, of the roughly $18 million that was spent, you could only identify where roughly $3.4 million of that money came from. Yeah. The rest of it was dark money. And then, even more alarming, in the last Oakland County Circuit Court election, a local election, dark money accounted for $2 million of the $2.7 million spent in that campaign, and it was 99% of it went to two candidates who were taking on a field of five incumbents.
So certainly those proportions, considering this was a state Supreme Court contest, you say that almost $13 million, we do not know where that money came from.
Correct. It's untraceable.
Okay. So a group may be identified, but we don't know who the members of the group are.
Right.
You cite a few U.S. Supreme Court rulings that you maintain that are important here. And this is why you want Secretary of State Johnson to clarify the situation. Talk to us a little bit more about these national rulings and why they're important.
Okay, yeah, there are three rulings. First was in
Citizens United, I imagine, will be your third.
Right. The first was back in 2007, Federal Election Commission versus Wisconsin Right to Life. That defined what a political ad was, and it said a political ad is considered express advocacy or its functional equivalent if it is susceptible of no reasonable interpretation other than as an appeal to vote for or against a specific candidate. So the political ads were for a specific candidate. Then you came along with Caperton versus Massey Cole in 2008. This is a situation in which a local businessman won a $50 million judgment, and the case is appealed. While the appeal is pending, there is a state Supreme Court election going on. A new justice is elected. Then the case is decided, and the case is overturned by a 3-2 vote. The justice who cast the deciding vote received $3 million in campaign funds from the opponent of the man who won the $50 million judgment. Mm-hmm. Now, the important thing about that is the reason we know that he received the $3 million was West Virginia has disclosure requirements. So the man who lost his judgment was able to identify, wait a minute, you got $3 million from my opponent. I want you to step aside. And the judge wouldn't do it. The U.S. Supreme Court took a look at that and said, Under those facts, that judge's refusal to step aside was a violation of his due process rights. Well, here in Michigan, we don't have those disclosure requirements, so there would be no way for anybody to know that that contribution was made. Mm-hmm. So that's a primary basis. Then you're right. Citizens United was the third of the three cases. And while Citizens United is most widely known for saying that corporations can contribute just like a normal person,
true,
the real importance of that in this decision is that the Supreme Court recognized that the disclosure of contributors to election campaigns is a governmental interest in providing the electorate with information about election-related spending resources. So Citizens United supports the disclosure. So especially in a situation here where, unlike a normal political campaign, where you don't have to worry about, you know that a politician is going to get lobbied. You know that things like that are going on. In a judicial campaign, you have the right to know, has your judge received money? Should your judge step aside?
We're talking with Bruce Cortade, president of the State Bar of Michigan, who called on Secretary of State Ruth Johnson on Wednesday to clarify the state's policy regarding issue ads in our state. How are the battle lines drawn on this dispute? I take it some parties are opposing this on free speech grounds.
Well, you know, the amazing thing is that according to the latest polls that we've seen, 96% of the general public supports full disclosure in election campaigns. The only resistance that we've seen is, frankly, from those people who are using dark money, the people who either gather it and distribute it or the people who want to be able to do that. So the
who are those people?
I mean, just dark money. It's
who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
Who knows who those
exactly.
people are?
Yeah.
in yesterday's Free Press, columnist Brian Dickerson wrote the following: "The corrupting potential of so-called dark money is hardly unique to candidates for judicial office, and there is no reason why Secretary of State Johnson should not consider broadening disclosure requirements for other campaign expenditures that masquerade as issues advertising." Does he have a point?
The State Bar of Michigan can only comment and lobby on certain issues. We're a nonpartisan group, and because we are a mandatory bar, which means that anybody who wants to practice law in the state of Michigan has to be a member of us, we can only comment on those issues that affect the administration of justice or access to the courts or our ability to do our jobs. So the State Bar of Michigan and me as its president can't come out and say whether this should apply more broadly or not. I will tell you that the unique difference between a judicial campaign and a political campaign is that whole question about when the judge has to step aside. So I'll leave it to others to argue whether this ought to be more widely interpreted. I will say that I think we make a compelling case for why it should, at a minimum, start with the judicial campaigns.
Secretary Johnson is required to respond. When do you expect a response?
By law, under the Michigan Campaign Finance Act, she has to reply within 45 business days. She can extend that, I believe, by 30 additional days.
Okay.
So we expect a decision then. There's a comment period that starts in about, well, whenever she posts it, it's a 10-day comment period.
Very good. Public comment period.
Yes.
We will watch it closely. Bruce Cortade is president of the State Bar of Michigan. On Wednesday, the State Bar asked for clarification of the status of issue ads by the state's top elections official, Secretary of State Ruth Johnson. Bruce, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.